This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
A place to find the greatest podcast from the Motor City. Located at DetroitPodcasters.net.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75, representing the ongoing struggle to realize the Renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Oled Ezra Show. Allow me to introduce the comedian, the average Joe.
Yo.
The actor, Big Baby P.
I need a drink.
Front woman of the pills, Miss Pac-Man. Daddy Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, the musician, Magnanimous. And now, Oled Ezra.
What's up, internet, in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? You're listening to another thrilling and virally infected episode of the Oled Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution. We've got one hell of a show today. We got Scott from Broken Day Machine standing by. We're going to hear a couple of Broken Day Machine tracks. We got John Larson as the Tattoo Artist of the Week from InkAddict.com. He does some crazy stuff. We're going to get into that. We got the Beer of the Week. We've got the same old that you guys just love to sit around and listen to.
It almost makes me feel ill to do a Beer of the Week today.
Why? Why is that?
Because I had as many beers in 1 week and all in one night last night.
I bet you I beat you. By, like, probably double, at least.
Yeah, but you, like, what, a couple weeks ago, you were talking about drinking watered-down natty ice. So I see how you could.
I just was trying to say I don't discriminate, really.
Pat, man, what do you think about natty ice?
I've never had it.
What about saying
quit
ice,
acting
buddy?
Like you're thinking about the times you did drink it.
Listen, you drank a deuce of Smirnoff pomegranate or whatever it was last time, so...
Listen, fuck you,
you cannot
okay?
talk bad about anybody Smirnoff, else's beer that, choice. Baby.
Fuck you guys, okay? It was delicious.
That's the least gangster thing ever.
Quick shout out and a what up to Tony Muggs. Went and saw the Mega Weej play last night at the Cashew.
Mega Weej. That's the Ween cover band, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are crazy.
How do you spell Weej?
W-E-E-D-G-E.
So it's like cheese, but Weej.
No, not at all. But
no, I'm sorry. It's my cold.
You know,
man.
That place is good for too. They sell those their giant bottles of beer called Chimay.
Of Chimay.
Oh, $15 a pop.
Really?
$15 for a can of beer.
I got one. A couple people I was with got them, and you just kind of pour out little snifters of them as they're like 8 to 10 point. ABV.
Oh, so one will really? Get you yeah. fucked up. Okay.
Fuck so for $15, would you consider it a good value, like a bucket of beer?
Yes, unfortunately. Awesome, but I may have issues.
Hey, anyway, check out our website, theolenezrashow.com, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, our comment line at 313-254-4260, which I'm very frustrated with, but we'll get to that in a second. And also, there's a new portion of theolenezrashow.com, and that's theolenezrashow.com/upcoming. If you want to know any shows that we're either sponsoring, a part of, or that we're hosting, check that out so that you can make the plans to get to where we are going to be, because we'd love to see you at our live events. I promise that you're going to win something. We were doing some David Hasselhoff trivia for Darian at the Battle of the Bands, on Wednesday? Detroit Live's Battle of the Bands. We didn't know what to do. We had a couple OledEzraShow.com t-shirts, so we decided that David Hasselhoff trivia would be appropriate.
How many his questions?
His middle name is Michael.
That's what I was going to say. How many questions do you come up with
we
for
came up
Hasselhoff
with,
we just did
trivia?
Two.
We came up with two. What was his car? Pat, David Hasselhoff's car in Knight Rider was named.
Oh, come on.
Kit.
There we go. Yeah, that was a horrible
Olin
question.
Didn't know. Olin
I didn't know.
Are you
so
serious?
I thought it was a good question.
You suck.
I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm not a big...
Don't even look this way.
I'm not a big Hasselhoff microphone.
I just love that Michael Knight had to have farted in that car at some point.
Oh,
to which Kit was like, Michael, I smell that. I've detected a vibration in your seat.
Anyway, Steve...
Shut up and hit the blowjob button.
What's that in your hand?
Beer of the week.
Oh, you're going to love this because what I'm talking about here today comes out of Great Lakes Brewing Company in Cleveland, Ohio, and it is their Oktoberfest. So sticking with my probably throughout October here, the line of pumpkin ales and Oktoberfest. We're dealing with this.
So is this another spicy, Halloween-y?
Yes. In fact,
caramely brew.
Like, I was surprised. This is actually really good. It's got, like, that amber. It's a deep red amber color with, if this makes any sense, like a roasted nut and chocolate spiced with orange peel. That makes any kind of, like, yeah, think about that. Spicy orange peel.
Spicy. So it's like those things you made in first grade with the cloves and the oranges or something?
Yeah, kind of. Just they brew it in mass now.
Ah, the memories.
Yeah, but 6.5 alcohol content we're dealing with this with these guys here.
What is a Bud Light? Is that like 5%?
That's under 5. They're considered to be like 4.8 to
What's
like 5.
That, Pat?
Like
what?
A Bud Light is 5.0.
What's Smirnoff Pomegranate? 1.9.
No, those are about 5 also.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Bastard.
That's another thing. I think all beers... all alcohol brewers should have to put their ABVs on them.
I agree. I agree because it's kind of confusing when you get a beer and you're trying to figure out how it's going to affect you when there's nothing on it.
Sure, you try to govern the buzz, you know?
That's right.
With these, the Oktoberfest, Great Lakes Brewing Company Oktoberfest, 6.5. That's nice.
That's not perfect. Too bad. Pat, what's the APV on that Budweiser right there, buddy?
Budweiser's about 5. Yeah, they say Budweiser's like 5.
Yeah, whatever he said.
And that's why they had to, they came out with Bud Light Wheat, which is like their half-ass attempt at a microbrew taste.
Bud Light Wheat.
Dude, it's supposed to be.
That's about as non-homosexual as Kid Rock's Badass Light.
I am American Badass.
Drink
my
beer.
You down a six-pack, it'll make you queer.
All right.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You're going to be able to find these beers here at very sparse and few and far in between places.
How about Buscemi's?
Go to like your better.
Steve Buscemi is the shit.
Yeah. He drinks them, I'm sure.
Cool. Well,
that dude's fucked up.
But the party store.
Potentially. You know, some Buscemi's and some of those stores, they have a tendency to get certain hard-to-find shit. The Buscemi's by me and what I guess is Harper near 10 Mile, they got everything and can get everything, you know?
I think I've been in that one. Isn't that the one that has, like, that whole, like, microbrew cellar or whatever in it? Or is that the one out in Clinton Township?
No, it's not like a cellar, no. You're talking about 16 and Grossbeck.
I think so.
They have really good subs, too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's like a perfect... You want to soak up alcohol?
You know what, owners of Buscemi's? I'm sick of plugging your goddamn place for free every week. Call me.
They're really cool there, man. They always like, you know, I can get you anything you want, bro. Whatever. Name a beer, you know. So I've thrown a couple at them. They've gotten, you know. But and they carry the Great Lakes Brewing Company.
I've definitely had some memorable, well, unmemorable nights happen starting with Buscemi's, so. You know how that goes. You know, people end up wrecking Dodge Chargers into mailboxes and...
Oh, Jesus. I heard about that. Plus, I think all stores should carry mini bottles of liquor. I'm just going to throw that out
there. I
agree. Sometimes you just want a shot.
I totally agree.
You can smuggle them in places.
Absolutely.
Even half pints.
The smuggle ability. Yeah, I like a half pint because you can fit that into your back pocket.
Yeah, those are perfect. They call it like a double shot.
That's right.
Smuggle ability is, you know, perfect for that.
Pat, what's the smugability? Smuggle.
He's got smugability too.
Pat, are you smuggable?
Extremely, sir.
Smug life tattooed on your belly.
Anyway. Just because I love me, okay?
Make sure to check out our affiliates too.
And
Raw.
That was Pat's daily affirmation.
4FM.com and The Zone Radio. They've been pumping out underground Midwest hip-hop on that lyrical tip for the past 7 years. So make sure to kick it with Origix and DC every Saturday night from 8 p.m. till midnight on 89.3 FM or online at WHFR.FM. And speaking of them, we are sponsoring a show coming up. It's going to be called the Downriver Hip-Hop Jam 09. And I'm excited to see it because the headlining act is Waste Management. And those guys have impressed me. I believe they're out of Pontiac, but also Icarus is going to be there. Pigbag is going to be on the 1 and 2s. Their special guest Dice with his hit single "I Sell Drugs," and this is going to be at Simon's Downriver. For more info, hit the OlinEzraShow.com/upcoming.
When's that?
That is going to be on October 18th. So to check the comment line, we had one freaking comment, and I don't know what's wrong with you people. One week, we get an explosion, and we have comments leaking out of every orifice that we have, and then the next week, we get one.
Oh, call us, bitches.
Look, we will post nude photos of Danny Catastrophe on the website if you...
Stop it.
With
a donkey.
With a donkey. And Pat's going to be there wearing, like, you know, a teddy bear costume.
Nah, man, fuck that. I'm going to be that butt naked.
I want you to wear the Borat bathing suit.
I'm going to be that butt naked with a spoon and a used condom.
And I will be touching myself in the corner, weeping gently.
Will you be using olive oil?
More than likely.
Anyway, call us, man. You guys blow us up. You know, you leave great comments, and then we get nothing. We have nothing to work with. But we do have this.
Hey, Olin, I need to know your pants length for your bell bottoms. So, like, cut it out or text it or some shit. And you never answer me if you want, like, paisley, you want solids, you want stripes, like, what color you want for your like, bell part. Like, so, yeah.
Hey, first of all, I don't fucking get no bell bottoms. How'd that come about?
Wait, well, my question is, he said you never answered him, which means that you had a conversation.
You had some kind of contact about this?
You had some interest in bell bottoms, but you just never told him what kind that you wanted.
Why did that sound like Nate?
That was Farmer John, and then apparently he took up space in the Russell Industrial Center, and now he's making bell bottoms.
I'm saying put me down for a set.
So my waist is 32, my length is 32, and if you can do me a favor, give me some stripes kicking, man, but I want the bottom of the pants, you know what I mean, to be the exact same length as the top of the pants, you know?
See, and I think that you should go, like, slim, like, tight fit with the flare, like the extreme flare at the
extreme
bottom.
Extreme flare, super tight on the thighs. That's for Danny. Danny, what's your size? So we can get you these set up. Well, the next live show we rock will be wearing Farmer John's exclusive 100% made in Michigan bell bottoms.
I want burnt orange velour, please.
What's your length?
That's so sweet.
My length?
Yeah.
Girls don't work like that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I need 32, 32. Steve, what do you need, buddy?
Usually 33.
Pat, man, what kind of bell bottoms?
Bell bottoms. Yeah.
Oh, no. Big baby pee.
This has all been contrived to get your pant size.
Yes.
There are no bell bottoms.
I'm not wearing bell bottoms.
No, Pat, what you got to do is you got to rock the bell bottoms.
Because you know what comes next. You know.
You got to rock the bell bottoms and the epic afro.
No.
And you got to be big baby 70s. Come on, buddy.
No.
Holler at Farmer John. You can get to him from our website, OlinEzraShow.com, because he's left a couple of comments. So get at Farmer John for your paisley bell bottoms.
Why does this sound like a twisted Sesame Street? Farmer John lives down the block.
Farmer John lives down the block, and he wears paisley bell bottoms. What a sweet dude, man. And he's got, like, this, like, curly afro thing going on. He's a pretty sweet dude, man.
No wonder supporter he makes of the bell show. Bottoms.
Yeah, exactly. Right. He's trying to keep 70s alive.
He drinks antifreeze and likes to smoke a lot, and he makes bell bottoms.
For some reason, Farmer John starts to sound more and more like Disco Stew.
Yes, Farmer John makes bell bottoms for you.
But
you
see, look at the awesome thing we just did to that call. You guys have to grow a sack and fucking call us, you bastards. How dare you not call us? I'm offended. You know, that's the Olin Ezra Show for this week. Thank you.
See what you've done. You've done it now.
Yeah, why did Nate take a week off?
Nate? I don't know. I guess he wasn't feeling it.
Is Nate actually Farmer John? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't need no double characters going on here.
Speaking of Nate, you know, he went with me to the Detroit Live Magazine 1-year anniversary blowout last night with Pistol Day Parade and Mind Drought, a couple other bands. What's the name of the band with the 12-year-olds? Grack? Grack. There's 12-year-olds that rock out in this cover band called Grack. I missed them. I wanted to see them. I only got a chance to see Mind Drought, but there was like 250, 300 people there. Man, Darian did an excellent job with that little 1-year blowout party at the All Around in Taylor. All Around's nice. We got to look into getting something going there.
I love
because,
playing there.
Yeah, they got that nice stage in the corner, and then it's nice seating, and then they got a nice-sized dance floor, too. Mm-hmm. It's actually
great sound, too.
A really nice, nice place.
Take the photo, send it in. Before you know it, you're wearing your skin. InkAddict.com, tattoo artist of the week.
And we're on the phone with John Larson.
Johnny.
What up, John?
Oh, not much, man.
Hey, real quick, man, you're from Hole Shot Tattoo in Berkeley, Michigan, right?
Right on.
And that's off of, we were talking a little bit earlier before the show, you told me that that's off of Coolidge in between 11 and 12 Mile?
It is, in Berkeley, yeah.
Awesome, man. What's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you if they want to get some work done?
Either stop in the shop, that's the best way, or give the shop a call at 248-543-SHOT.
Awesome, man, awesome.
Very nice.
How long you been tattooing for?
Been about going on 6 years.
Nice. Do you have like a particular style, or do you try to, you know, cross the board and be able to adapt?
Well, I like to do a little bit of everything, kind of mix it up, but I mostly try to push the envelope with a traditional kind of twist on different things. Like one of my favorite tattoos that I did recently was a devil eating a baby.
Sweet.
Nice.
Because that's what they do.
That's freaking awesome. Sweet, man.
Was it like realistic, or was it more like kind of cartoonish?
Yeah, it's cartoonish with like a traditional kind of feel.
Did this person know that they wanted that, or did you guys kind of start talking and then figure it out?
Did you just
or?
Do it and then go check this out?
Kind of let me do whatever I wanted to do, and I kind of brought it up. And at first he was like, I don't know if I really want to do that. That's kind of crazy. Then he called me up the next day and was like, yeah, sure, I'll fucking do that.
Where did he get it at? Where on his body?
It was on like his back and like almost his rib cage.
Wow.
Right on. Hey, man, who's I'm going to have these pictures posted on the OlinEzraShow.com when I make the post, but whose grandma is that you're tattooing in these pictures?
What?
Oh, that's my buddy Nate Dogg's grandma. She's like 72 or 73 or something, and she's awesome.
Did you guys get her? Did you guys get her to throw up those metal horns, or was that just her doing?
No, we got her to do that, but she's awesome. She goes along with everything. She comes in like once a year to get tattooed by me.
Are you serious?
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Now, probably a weird question, but is it harder or easier or neither to tattoo like old people?
Aged skin?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder. They're like the elasticity of the skin's weird. Kind of extra stretchy.
You have to like pull it.
Got to lift and pull. Oh, you know what? That could be awesome though, because it's like it could be like two tattoos in one. Like this is what it looks like when that flap is hanging. This is what it looks like when they lift it.
Like a Mad Magazine fold. Right. <on the back. laughs>
Right. When you fold them together, it's a completely different picture.
Yeah, I guess.
Now this bike picture, man, what's up with this bike you're riding around on?
Oh, it's a tall bike. We on our off time, we fuck around and make different kinds of bikes. It's like two bikes topped onto each other.
Nice.
Call it a tall bike. There's other bikes that we make called swing bikes where... I don't know, just funky bikes that we make.
That's dope. I know a dude in Long Beach that does that also. Do you know what, you remember like Sublime's kind of like tattoo guy was Opie Ortiz?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Opie does that too, man. He's got pics of bikes he builds up, I think, on his MySpace.
Yeah, that's just kind of, I don't know, we started by welding together machines and stuff like that for tattooing and just started welding all kinds of different stuff together.
Now, I got this picture, man. This one's kind of disturbing. Now, that work that you got done on you, did that hurt?
Which one? My back?
Yeah. Just I'm gonna get this to the surprise of the pic in a minute. But did that whole thing hurt, or was it like how long did it take?
I got like 26 and a half hours into it. It hurt like a bitch.
Wow.
Definitely hurt.
So, but yeah, it's you know, I'm looking at these pictures. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Grandma, this one's funny. Okay, cool. Yeah, double decker bike. Cool. Okay. How dare you send me a picture of your ass, sir?
That's how you'd like it.
Yeah. You were correct, sir.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I ended up staring at it. But no, that looked painful, to
hey,
tell you the
they,
truth.
Those guys as artists, man, they got to see some shit. You know what I mean?
So your back and your ass is tattooed? Or just...
Yeah, the ass is horrible. I don't recommend getting your ass tattooed.
Really?
So was the ass tap painful? Or?
Well,
yeah, it's horrible. Probably one of the worst spots I've had on me.
Huh.
Well... That does make me appreciate strippers that much more. If they're willing to go through that much just to, you know, earn a buck.
Would doing a taint tat be out of the question?
Doing a what?
A taint tat,
yeah.
I don't know, I'll do it.
Finally.
On a dude?
We finally found the third artist ever, that will do it.
What about on a 300-pound guy?
You just gotta hold your balls up for me.
Phenomenal.
Don't worry, I got a ball harness just for that occasion.
This is like the third time in a week some dude has asked me to hold my balls up for him.
You gotta stop by the police too. But look, you gotta stop by the police too.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome talking to you, John. You got a MySpace with any art that people can check out?
Yeah, it's Larson Tattoos on MySpace, or I got Facebook. It's just John Larson, or WholeShotTattoos.com.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks.
Cool.
Thanks for taking some time out of your day today and being the third ever Olin Ezra Show Tattoo Artist of the Week, brought to us by InkAddict.com. And, dude, man, appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
The ass tat.
We finally found a taint artist.
We
did it look cool?
Yo, it looks badass. And then, you know, I was looking at it, and I had this girl at my house, and I was like, is that a dude? Like, I was in shock for a second because I couldn't tell, you know, because you see chicks with that done all the time.
Did you ever see, like, at a supermarket or whatever, like, someone be leaning over their trunk and you're like, that's kind of a nice ass. And then, whoa, it's a dude.
Not too often.
Oh, no. Well, you know.
No.
Me neither. That's why I was asking.
You know what, though? Now he's probably has to shave his ass forever.
Probably, yeah.
Right, just to...
I would never get my ass tattooed because I like my thick tufts. Anyway, Tattoo Artist of the Week is brought to us by InkAddict.com. These guys do amazing work. Speaking of Farmer John and his 100% made in Michigan bell bottoms, these guys make 100% made in America shirts. They're American apparel shipped here from LA. And then each shirt's 100% handcrafted. You got a sweet picture of a tattoo, actually anything. You got some art you want to throw on a shirt. If you're a band, get at InkAddict.com. Click the link on the right side of the page. And if you want to win a t-shirt featuring John Larson's art, get onto theolinezrashow.com. On the right side of the page, there's an InkAddict logo. Click that, sign up for a free normal user account, and enter to win a t-shirt. All you got to do is sign up. It's a beautiful contest. We give away a shirt a week. So Dominic's already won a shirt, and I think Nate won a shirt, too, last week. So.
Did he?
Yep.
Nate.
So see, look where getting the supporting the show gets you. You get free shit for just doing something simple like signing up at InkAddict.com, wear your skin. Yeah, anyway, we're going to get into some Broken Day Machine here. We're going to listen to a couple of tracks, so we're going to roll it, and then we're going to talk to Scott from Broken Day Machine.
Yeah!
And that was Go by Broken Day Machine. And we're sitting in studio with Scott. What's up, man?
What's up, guys?
What up, Scott?
Thanks for having me.
So, what does Broken Day Machine mean?
I knew that was going to be the first one. That's the
first, you know.
I like it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's kind of left to interpretation. We were just messing with names, and we wanted to come up with something different, unusual.
That
so.
Is cool when it is open to interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, I look at it as like a daytime machine would be like a watch, so it's like a broken watch stopping time, so a moment paused in time, so.
Now, this is interesting. If you were Broken Day Stop Machine, your initials would be BDSM.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there, sorry.
What the fuck
does that mean?
It's like
isn't that the bondage?
Yeah,
I knew where you were going with that.
Oh. Yeah. I guess you guys know that as a little
gag and mouth and shit, right?
Happy to see you two having a moment over here.
Yeah. That's right.
I thought I recognized you.
BDSM. No, but now I was reading, you guys came from three separate bands?
Yeah, Steve and I were in Edge of Eden originally, and then... Will was with a band called Blissfield, and then Kevin was with D-Town Gents, which is a punk band. So,
you guys all pretty much in the area, in the same area? Or?
Yeah, we got really lucky. We're really close. Will's right in Yipsey now. I'm in Taylor. Steve's in Dearborn, and Kevin's right in down, shit, where the hell is Kevin? He's past Southgate. So, I mean, we're all downriver pretty much.
Brownstown?
No.
Riverview.
No. Thank you. Yes.
There we go.
Yeah, that, Riverview. Shit.
Down River's really emerging as a music scene.
It really is.
Like suddenly lately.
Need like, more clubs though. I mean, there's two, like you guys were talking about the All Around, which is like literally 3 minutes from my house. But that and then there's Simon's. And then
Rack and Roll.
Yeah, and Rack and Roll. Yeah.
But that's it. Like
that's really about it.
Well, the Modern Exchange, but that's kind of a...
Yeah.
More of like a kiddie venue.
Yeah, that's all ages coffee shop kind of shit. So,
I've never been to the Modern Exchange, but I've heard some grumblings about it.
There's no booze.
I take it they don't sell alcohol.
Dude, we got there, and like we're supposed to go on in an hour and a half, and like Scott, we've done enough shows together to know that I'm not doing it dead sober.
Danny won't roll.
That's not how I roll.
Danny won't roll around on the floor until she's drunk.
That's right. And I do that every show, so I gotta be drunk.
Yeah, we had somebody at the last show you guys played with us, and they were like, man, that girl's fucking hyper.
She's whacked out on beer, man.
I was like, hey, she's having a good time. That's what counts.
Hence the last name, Catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. With the K.
Who did your art, man, that kid with the balloon?
That's actually Will's brother down in Texas, I guess, owns the rights to that photo, and Will took a certain photo, I guess it's just a kid running in the field, and just vamped it up with whatever he does. He does all the computer shit, the graphics, all that other stuff, and just completely switched it around, and we were like, cool, let's go with it.
It looks super cool. Mm.
Yeah. It looks like it has a very deep meaning.
Well, the album title is A Place Beyond the Sun, which... With the graphics, the way he did it, it's kind of supposed to look like, you know, the one thing he's holding on to, the one special thing he's got left, which is his balloon, and then the backdrop and everything's kind of grayish. It's kind of really, you know...
juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's obscure, so, like, the grass isn't that greener on the other side, you know? It's not always that great, you know, that type of thing, so...
Nice.
I liked it, and you guys, what you guys have a shirt at inkaddict.com,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, they did a kick-ass graphic of that whole balloon and then turned it into fucking the gears, and everything looks sweet as hell.
Mm. Yeah, shout-outs to those guys. They've designed our shirts, too, and they design the pill shirts, and are they hopefully designing a Magnanimous T-shirt, buddy?
Yeah. We'll get that going here.
That's awesome. But yeah, check it out. So you can get that
off
at inkaddict.com. I know, man. What are you doing?
You need a sticker.
Shit. So I'm
get
talking about, dude. You need some paisley bell bottoms and an afro, man.
No.
Yeah, rock the bell bottoms, man.
Does Broken Day Machine need any bell bottoms?
No. You know what?
I could see Kevin in some bell bottoms.
Kevin wears some fucked up shit on stage. I mean,
he wears like the knee socks.
He would wear anything, yeah. He's like, they're my baseball socks. I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. Whatever works for you. He's like, I'm comfortable. So, yeah, I'd do bell bottoms. bell bottoms, a fucking tank top, and a straw hat. I'm good to go.
So that CD, where's that available at? Is local record stores or?
No, I mean you get it at our shows, and we're up on iTunes and Amazon as well for MP3 download. And I actually think you can buy the CD through Amazon as well.
Okay.
So, and it's out there. I mean, world's going digital anyways. May as well have it up there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, we got two CDs up there. The first one, Tomorrow Wins Today, and the new one, A Place Beyond the Sun, which came out in June. So.
And what we're listening to is the newest one, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. You guys are already almost done with your third, too, huh?
Yeah, we're about...
As far as writing goes.
Yeah, Will came over Thursday, and we wrote three more songs, and we actually practiced one of them this morning with the whole band. We're probably about... six songs deep that we've practiced fully, and then probably nine written. We're shooting for 12 for a full album.
You guys just crank out the songs.
It's just a good collaboration because Will's a spectacular writer.
Yeah, I mean,
the guy's phenomenal as far as just his vocal talent and his writing ability. Because I mean, I couldn't have picked a better guy to work with, and it helps having two guitarists in the band. So if he's got something, I can help him out, or if I got something, he's normally got a shitload of lyrics that he's written down already. We just start.
Yeah, I thought he was a good vocal. I saw you guys at that Hayloft show I was talking about.
Appreciate it.
One thing that I like about you guys, and that is different, I think, than a lot of local bands are, like obviously the musical talent's there, but Will's lyrics are like super honest.
Right.
You know, they're like, there's no like trying to write like that song that you think everyone wants to hear and just like
that's
the same
catchy.
Old cliche
right.
shit, you know.
It's very personal, but he does it in a way to where you can make a personal song and still have a hook to it,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, to me, that's you get both cards right there. You're full deck of aces right there. So
when is there going to be a Broken Day Machine song about pile driving? I'd like to know.
What?
I don't know. I think you and Will should collaborate on that one.
Wow.
There's a story to this.
Like the wrestling move or the sexual move?
The latter.
Okay.
I demonstrated.
What?
To them. our band and Broken Day Machine has been friends for what? Probably like 2 years now.
Yeah.
So
I see why.
Well, yeah.
So we gotta
pile
wait.
Driving for all.
So we gotta wait roughly 2 years before you start demonstrating your pile driving ability.
You know, I'm sorry now to hear it after hearing that we only went so far as to plug you. We never actually did the full on pile drive. So
well, yeah, just if things go well.
It was what was it? We're right when our CD release for our first CD was coming out.
Well, no, it was, oh, yeah, that's right, because me and Will did a duet.
Yeah, it was last year, and they were going to do a duet, and we went over there, was it Paul's place?
Yeah.
Went over to Paul's place to practice a song with him, and she starts asking, you guys know what pile driving is? And we're like, yeah, I believe so. And then she went on to demonstrate by leaning up against the pool table.
Phenomenal.
Ass straight in the air, and she goes, and then the guy would stand over you. And I was like, I think we get the idea.
And then you guys are supposed to focus on anything else after that.
We're like, all right, we should go back to writing now.
And then Jake said, and then the guy does the two-finger descent.
Yeah, two-finger descent. You got to add that pinky in for that added bonus, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's the bowling pin move, two in.
Two
in the pink, one in the stink.
That's right.
Shocker.
Yeah.
That's right, chicks so like it.
Or the Harry Houdini, as I call it, too, because it's like, presto!
Wow.
But real quick, you're looking for cheap rent. How does $475 a month sound? We've got two bedroom flats and duplexes available in the Indian Village neighborhood in Pontiac. That's about M59 and Telegraph. So $475, two bedroom, not a bad place to stay. Call 248-229-4149 to get set up with some cheap rent. All right. So Steve, man, what do you got this week?
You know, man, I had like this whole thing written out I wanted to get into, but I'm just going to veer off of that and ask anybody who wants to get involved in this too. If you're like the whole drama over trying to balance the state budget.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
And the fact that these ass fucks are dragging this out and supposed to have already had this done. And the one person, I'm not surprised, who should be stepping in, taking leadership and making things happen is standing away with her hands off of it, Miss Granholm.
Well, yeah, she's done nothing but
awesome, our awesome, awesome governor,
dude.
The governator.
Like, they actually, while we were sleeping recently here, had to, you know, considered the state was closed.
Yeah,
right.
For a couple hours.
And what was this whole lottery debauchery, you know, about the money that people were spending for lottery tickets was supposed to go to schools, but then in fact it ended up going to like fire departments and stuff.
I've always questioned that. Not only that, but there's people with their hands in those coffers also, you know, like that money allotted for like education and for the schools. And they usually tell you, too, we've given so many millions, billions to schools. Really? And the school system in Michigan is so broken. Where the fuck did that money go?
Yeah, and my mom's a teacher in Highland Park, and the doors don't even, like, open or close properly. Come on.
And they're cutting everything.
Absolutely.
Know,
so
yet there's, you know, millions.
They're using Apple IIe's from 1987. I'm not joking.
Their kids are playing ColecoVision.
Playing fucking Frogger and shit.
Oregon Trail.
That was a classic back of the day, man.
Shoot the deer and shit.
Yeah. You want to cross this river or continue to see if it will end?
Right. Just like people, like politicians do a great job of making people so disgusted that they also look away.
Right.
You know?
That's
the issue. So. What they're going to do, just to cut this long story short, ultimately, because they need revenue, because they need to balance a budget that they cluster fucked,
they're
going to raise taxes are going up. That's how they're going to get they're going to generate revenue.
Right.
Taxes go up, and police campaigns amp up their mission to issue more tickets than they
click
ever
it or
would.
Ticket. Yeah. They and that's really unfortunate that our police run on that quota system.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, it's like these people have to catch a certain amount of people doing something wrong in order to keep their job. Are you kidding me?
Like every cop would deny that, like, oh, there's no quotas. You know, like,
right.
They used to. Now, sure. It's like, well, yeah, we got
that's why we're gonna sit in the parking lot of a bar.
That's fucked.
And at
1:45,
we're going to pull everyone over.
Now, if you get a good attorney, you might be able to argue entrapment, but, you know, still, these guys are here to serve and protect. What makes me sick is that they put the cat in the washing machine. Remember, they were going to give him like 10 years, 15 years, which is overly excessive and unusual punishment. And then they give, you know, they'll give somebody that goes to a girl's house that's 13 with the intent of having sex with her 6 months.
I did not.
Relax.
Somebody that would do that.
Right.
Yeah, because those are the fuckers that are I swear to God, I know that those are like the most repeat offenders. They're fucking child molesters, rapists, all that shit.
I just had this jumbo-sized box of condoms in my car.
And stuffed animals.
I just don't get it, man. It's so fucked.
Someone, no, these Barbie dolls? No, this is for me. I'm a collector.
I collect.
I just wanted to be your friend.
Scott, man, click it or ticket, man.
No, man. You know what? They screw you no matter what. My wife got pulled over for some shit in Romulus, and it is what it is. You know, they say there's signs there and there's not, and, you know, they don't care. They're meeting their quota. And from what I heard, Romulus is the worst for it, too.
Oh, really? For click it or ticket?
They'll pull you over. Regardless, you got the wrong blinker on, they'll pull you over.
I like to use the analogy fishing. It's like they stop you and then they stick their nose. Have you been through one of the seatbelt checkpoints where they literally stop your car?
No.
Yeah, those are fucked up. They got them on Gratiot near Quinn.
They have them. They have them at Newburgh and Warren Avenue, and it's like Gestapo tactics.
What do they do?
Yeah. Oh, dude, over in what's considered Clinton Township, right around like 14 and Gratiot, they do this throughout the summer. You'll just notice traffic slowing down a little bit. It's because there's cops standing on either side of the road.
Yeah, that's what...
Rubbernecking your car, literally staring into your car, and they'll call ahead. Bang, we got one right there.
Yep.
Got one right here. Pull that guy over.
And then when you pass it, you see, like, a line of 4 or 5 cops, and you'll see, like, 3 other cops with people pulled over, and they're just trapping you.
I've never seen that either.
Yeah.
And how come all I want to do is drive home and smoke a joint, man? I go under the speed limit
tell
and drive
them. You got to tell them that. They love to hear that kind of stuff.
I got weed under the passenger seat that I need to get to.
It's like, dude, get your neck out of my car. I'm trying to smoke a blunt.
You guys
man.
Are harsh in my buzz, man.
And let's not even talk about how much the fines and stuff like that has gone up for DUIs and for
driver
shit like that.
Driver responsibility fee. Hey, you don't have your proof of insurance. Right. Additional $250. Yeah. And for most people, that's a week of work. $250, $300. You know,
And the economy now, it doesn't help either. You know?
No. You're supposed to work for a week for free.
Yeah.
You're fucking filing for bankruptcy because you got a parking ticket. This shit is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, there you go again with that is all designed to generate revenue, right?
Yeah, right.
So whenever they fuck things up to a point they can't dig themselves out of it, stick it to the people. Hence, same thing with the fucking bailouts, you know?
They
had operated a thiefdom there forever, and as soon as they didn't have profits anymore, they, you know, turned to people that build the wealth of a nation, you know, and fuck them too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Thomas Jefferson talked about that when when he was writing his manifesto after they founded the country, and nobody chose to pay attention to it till now, and now we're to a point where it's like there's not a whole lot we can do other than scream and yell and essentially fight to get our rights back because we've been stripped of everything. We're basically a European sub-nation at this point.
Yeah, and just anytime I even see what they're talking about now with trying to balance this budget, and all they did was she signed something now to hold it over so they don't even have to make a decision for, what, like another 4 or 5 months or something like that?
I can't wait till her bitch ass is out.
Which is like what they did 4 or 5 months ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, she's living in a gated community in Northville and driving around a fucking Cadillac.
Mm-hmm. Screw you, Grandma.
Is that where she lives?
Yeah.
To anybody even listening to this, you know, don't be fooled by misleadership. And people in politics, like, all the world is a stage for them. And if, ironically, too, I'm still kind of no longer surprised, but it used to like be interesting how many politicians had acting aspirations before they became politicians. Jennifer Granholm actually studied drama.
Really?
And was going to, she dreamed of being an actress. So next best thing, be a real actress.
I heard Palin was doing porn before her presidential run.
I wish.
You haven't seen that
doing
video?
Doing it now, too.
What?
Nailing Palin.
It's so hot.
It's a Hustler exclusive.
Man, Sarah Palin. Why can't she be our governor?
Just want to see her getting raped by a moose or something.
Anyway, yeah. Speaking of Sarah Palin, make sure to check out our good buddy Les Zaldor for exclusive rock interviews, innovative car casts, and more. Check him out at detroit.insomniaradio.net or at zaldor.com. So, Danny, you've got a douchebag lined up, huh?
It's the douchebag, it's Danny's dirty douchebag of the week.
The dirty, dirty
douchebag. He is a very
douchebag.
Dirty, dirty douchebag.
Hit it.
And his name is Olin Ezra. All right. No, I'm sorry. Please.
His name is Mark Petrash, and he is trash. he's a music teacher, which we'll come back to in a second, at a middle school in California, Lake Forest Middle School. Or no, Lake Forest is the place where the doctor's office was located, where he took a relative to see the doctor, and while the relative was in the room with the doctor, he started talking to the female receptionist, and then announced that he liked to do things that shock people, and then he whipped out his pee-pee. And
by pee-pee, you mean big fat cock.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I don't know what? If it was...
Hey, you can imagine...
I can't speak for
the size.
You can
imagine it any way you want, dude, but...
Well, Pat's thinking about it big
I'm
and
saying,
fat.
I'm saying, because when I, you know, tell people I like to do things that shock people, I whip out my big fat cock.
Yeah.
So basically, Scott, I like to do things that shock people.
Yeah, look out.
I'm good, man.
Why do people do... I don't understand. What is the...
Well, the issue with that, too, is it's not so much shocking as you will wind up on a sexual predator list.
Yeah, like, could it possibly be worth it? Like, I guarantee no time in the history of the world has somebody done this, some man done this.
And it's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, my God, I gotta suck it.
Yeah, so, like, what could possibly... Like, you have to be seriously fucked up if you, like, you know... You think about the benefits and the drawbacks, and
that's just because like that dude mentality. You know, should a woman present herself? Boom, they do it. No questions. Should a dude present herself? Women are usually disgusted, and that's not how you go about, you know, sparking interest.
Well, I don't know, man. It's when you're at a bar, you're just like, hey, you want to see my genitals? And they're like, no, play. You know, and you just. There you go.
But you ask first.
Well,
you
I always ask.
Just,
that
yeah,
is
definitely.
Nice. That's right. Very
here's an icebreaker.
I was like, yeah. Right. Exactly. Would you like to see my genitals?
So, how do you feel about balls? Just feel mine.
So, this dude is a music teacher, and do you guys find that music teachers or like band teachers are more prone
twisted
to this kind of shit? I do.
I don't know. I mean, we're gonna have to look at some numbers and compare, you know.
Yeah.
I think that with teachers, not all of them.
Not all teachers, because there's
some teachers,
genuinely.
Some, sure.
I had an English teacher in seventh grade who,
showed
when
you his
I was
balls.
In, nobody showed somebody else's balls after
claimed it was a map
after the fact. Yeah. No, He said he asked some kids, like, hey, you want to come to my house and read Huckleberry Finn? Unfortunately, the kid didn't know that Huckleberry Finn was the nickname for his ball.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, our chorus teacher in sixth or seventh grade made us play Limbo, just like all girls class, and like, yeah, we played Limbo like a couple times a week.
Oh,
so
he's
like that exercising. It's like exercising a fantasy, like for real. You know,
that sounds like a Mexican television show. Some shit off of Telemundo.
I had this computer teacher, and what he would do is he would get a piece of candy. And he would only give it to the girls, but the girls who had pockets on the front of their shirt, he would put the candy in their pocket, then tap it, and go, you do such great work.
You know what? You're right, though. Actually, I'd say right around 7th, 8th grade, I still vividly remember those teachers, some of the dude teachers there, to themselves, thinking that some of the students can't hear them, whether it be a hallway or like a lunchroom setting, like talking about going by the high school, because this would have been middle school, going by the high school afterwards and scoping talent.
Oh my God.
And they were specifically, one of them was a girl softball coach, and he would invite the other dude teachers from middle school to come there and watch like the girls play softball.
That's so creepy.
Wow. Doesn't that kind of remind you of like dudes, like predators that get jobs that allow them that access?
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be scout leaders, priests. So, you know,
welcome to our brotherhood.
The Wee Blows. Right.
Yeah, look out, fifth graders. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why you'd want your kid to be called a wee blow.
Well, none of that, but this dude here, Mark Trashbag, what's his name?
Patrash.
So he's probably going to have no more business as a music teacher unless he leaves the freaking state.
Who's going to want them teaching their kid?
Want to see my flute?
Yeah, he's
skin flute.
It's more like a harmonica.
He's conducting the band with his homemade phallus.
It's flaccid. It's flaccid pee-pee. Actually, it probably wouldn't be flaccid.
No, not at all. Imagine if he's leaky. He'd be like leaking on the horn section or something. Like, oh, sorry about that, trumpets. Oh, God. Anyway, so, Pat, what do you got this week, buddy?
Bam! I got a couple of shits that are bound to make a lot of people angry. First off, I'm just going to throw this one out there first just because I remember you and someone who isn't here right now were just super, super hyped for this game when it first came out. You know the game Spore?
Oh, yeah.
Garbage. That you let all your spores out over. It was the biggest game.
Thought it was a great idea. They just didn't follow through on it.
Garbage.
Well, they're following through with a fucking movie.
Oh, come on.
Garbage.
Hate when they do that.
How can you make a movie out of Spore?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Are you kidding me?
Well, apparently Fox is trying to put it out. They're going to get Chris Wedge, the dude that directed Ice Age, to go ahead and throw his balls in this one. And it's going to be written by Greg Erb and Jason Ormland.
How can you make a movie about something that doesn't even have a fucking plot?
Draw it up.
Is it animated?
Yeah, it'll be CGI.
It's going to be one of those CGI movies. No surprise here. Michael Bay has just announced that they're going to go ahead and get started on Transformers 3.
Oh my God! Talk about
it's these friggin' franchises, man. They gotta finish them now.
Can I of say, course,
I'd like to kick Megan Fox.
Yeah, yes, you should start calling her out blatantly.
That's right.
She was gonna be my douchebag a couple times. She's just.
How about you guys just wrestle?
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
She totally bombed on Saturday Night Live too. So
I heard. I didn't see it, but I heard.
Horrible.
I heard her monologue was just like. The fucking worst.
I used to hate the monologue when I watched Saturday Night Live. I'd be like, just get to the skits.
I kind of hate it sometimes.
Bullshit.
It all really depends on the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure.
That's true.
Steve Martin.
I was just
gonna
say if it's like Steve Martin or
Timberlake's pretty funny on there usually.
I like.
He is.
I like Seth Rogen's when he had his letter from the past when he was talking about he was that awesome. But, Transformers 3, blah, blah, blah. They jumped the release date from summer of 2012 to July 1st of 2011.
To make sure it came out in time.
Right, and they're already talking to Hasbro, talking about trying to get up some new characters.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Something that I actually am kind of eager to announce, and then again, I know it's not an actual announcement, so I'm just going to throw it out there. In the middle of an interview recently in Italy regarding the release of Inglourious Basterds over there, Quentin Tarantino actually told the questionnaire to question him about the possibility of a Kill Bill part three, in which he says, yes, I quote, the bride shall fight again. I know it's not an official statement, but, you know.
Who's playing Bill?
A little bit of hope. I mean, he's dead already, so.
Right.
He's strung up.
Yeah. You
know? He was a little tied up right now. Yeah, he's a little tied up.
They could
right
always
now,
just use his hanging corpse. I mean, all right.
You know, somebody told me, too. I actually heard about that. It's about 5 years from now. They're going to come out with that.
See, what? Right, because the original plan, like, from his mouth was that he was going to wait for the little girl that saw her kill her mom.
Grow up.
Yeah, she was supposed to grow up and then seek revenge. Because, you know, after she kills Vivica Fox in the movie, the little girl is standing in the doorway and she says, you know, I have no beef with you. This was between me and your mom. If you feel bad about it, when you grow up, come see me. She's supposed to grow up and come see her. That was the original plan, but who really wants to wait 20 fucking years for some shit that's not going to be as good?
And then you're going to get to the last year and she will die in a plane accident or something.
Exactly.
Either that or she'll be like, no, you know, Kill Bill isn't the type of role I'm looking for right now.
Exactly. Uma Thurman's going to be fucking 50, 60.
No, that's fine. She'll be injected with so much plastic that she'll look like she's 13.
She's so overrated anyway.
Yeah, I think so,
too. I agree.
Yeah.
I really think. I don't understand. Steve,
Quentin Tarantino
is
like in love with her.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
You know what it
is?
You never notice that guy has a foot fetish.
Yeah.
Serious
foot
fetish.
You know what the funniest shit is? I swear to God. Right before Grindhouse came out, I was over my grandmother's house at like a family dinner or whatever.
At a family fetish function.
And me.
It's fine, Pat.
Fuck you. we're not cousin fuckers like the rest of you assholes. But we were over there. We were talking about it. Me, an aunt, and a cousin were talking about, yeah, he's got a serious foot fetish.
It's first fucking scene in the movie, man.
Right. And then, like, it was like that very same weekend. And, like, 2 days later, I went to go see that. And it's just fucking feet just hanging out
the
car window. Right. It's like, wow.
This every movie, she got a hold of, you know, Kill Bill, wiggle the big toe. It's like,
right.
Fucking off the feet, man.
Fucking Pulp Fiction. He gave your wife a foot rub.
Foot massage.
Foot rub.
It's like
some
the inside
people,
joke.
A foot rub is more of a foot rub than a foot rub.
It's just like you heard the Tom Hanks one, man. Like every movie's in, he urinates.
No.
There's a urinating scene in every movie.
Really?
Look at the Green Mile. He's got a fucking pissing problem. He's pissing in the one where he's abandoned on the. Every scene, every movie he's in, there's a pissing.
Forrest
Tom
Gump,
like school
yeah,
showers.
Forrest Gump.
Yep.
What you're
look at the pissing in Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
was there?
Oh
yeah, I don't.
When he drank all that, he like drank a ton of Dr. Pepper. Then Tasha Lindgren.
I gotta pee.
Yes. He's like, I gotta pee.
Every movie, man.
Boy, I said I gotta pee.
What about the Money Pit?
It's been too long since
he urinated in the Money Pit and then rolled around in it.
What about his new movie, The Urine Factory?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a little bit in there.
What else you got, buddy?
All right, last but not least, this song is probably going to, you know, make a couple of you guys moist in the pants. Fox Searchlight is actually trying to do a deal. Yes, you. Is Fox Searchlight is trying to do a deal for a movie about the Ramones. It's going to be based on the memoirs of Mickey Lay, who was Joey Ramone's brother, and longtime Ramone's chronicler, Legs McNeil.
So anyway, yeah, thanks for sticking around for this episode of the Olin Ezra Show. Scott from Broken Day Machine, man, we appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Scott.
Making some time, kicking it. Make sure to get at us, myspace.com/TheOEShow. We got a Facebook. We've got a Twitter. Make sure to call us on the comment line more than one time.
Call us. Fucking call us.
313-254-4260. And we're going to take you out to At the Wheel, only on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
So about this pile driver.
Too fast down.